that are touching critical aspects of the realities of our world today. Data in the area of statistics, in the area of security, data in the area of the economy, the trends in the marketplaces, and it is heavily suggestive of the fact that if your life is built on any of these parameters, it means that you cannot have a sustained destiny. So men like Abraham are numbered among the wise because of some critical decisions that they made. Turn your Bible with me quickly to the book of Hebrews chapter 11. We want to draw from a critical decision that Abraham made. Hebrews chapter 11, we'll begin our reading from verse number 8. Hebrews 11, verse number 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he will after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Verse 10 is my emphasis. For he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. There was a civilization that Abraham was looking for. And the civilization that we speak about is trapped in a city. The first description of that city is that it has foundations. If you are still with me, say amen. Temelios, that's the word for foundations in that scripture. Temelios, I tried to study it to know its meaning. So if you look at yourself now, if we check, we're analyzing you as a human being, okay? What gives you the structure that you have are the bones in your body. Doctor, am I correct? So it is in that sense that this word temelios is used. Right? Structure. The temelios that you are operating with is what determines your structure, determines your output, determines your configuration. Don't worry, we'll get there. But I'm just trying to use that linguistic approach to give you an idea of what we mean when Abraham said he was looking for a city that had foundations. That foundation is going to determine how your outlook is. It will determine, like if we have a physical foundation, for instance. Physical foundation. Once upon a time, I was building a house and we now discovered that the foundation was faulty. And the way we discovered that the foundation was faulty was because there was capillary action. Water was coming from the ground and it was seeping into the wall and decorating some parts of the wall. So we knew that there was a foundation challenge. We decided to break the house, but not completely, so that we could remodel it. But because we were not willing to go as far as breaking off the foundation, there was a limit to the remodeling we could do. Meaning that the strength of a house, the longevity of a house, is tied to its foundation. When Abraham says he's looking for a city that had foundations, you must understand that Abraham is a traveler. A And he had been in Egypt, and he saw the economy of Egypt. He saw the way Egypt was operating. And he knew that what was going on in Egypt was not sustainable. So he could not name Egypt as the city where he could establish his destiny, because what he saw in Egypt did not have the capacity to sustain his destiny. And so Egypt, even though it was a world power of the then world, it was not accurate enough. The economy, the systems that were running in Egypt was not accurate enough to support his destiny. So he left Egypt and was still wandering, looking for the city that had what? Foundations. All right. You are not getting me. I can tell. So let me take you to another scripture. Maybe that scripture will help your understanding. I believe the confusion started when I mentioned the Greek word temelios. Come with me to the book of Psalms. Psalms 24. Stay with me, okay? Just give me a moment to drive you to where I'm going. In the book of Psalms 24, verse 1, David says, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and dead that dwell therein." Are you there? The earth is the Lord's. That is the material universe is the Lord's. The fullness thereof is the Lord's. Vegetation, minerals, all kinds of stuff, aquatic possibilities is the Lord's. And also we that dwell in the earth, we are the Lord's. Now, whenever you see a scripture so explicit, so clear like this, and it happens to be the first verse in a chapter, from experience in my Bible study, you will find out that the reason for the clarity is because there is a contention not too long from this defining scripture. So this first scripture in the book of Psalms 24 is talking about the ownership of the earth. And I know that most of you here, some of you here are landowners. And in current situation and circumstance, if you want to verify the actual owner of a landed property in Nigerian context, you will need to visit the Lands and Survey Department and check their land registry to know who exactly is the owner of a certain land for which you have interest. Someone came to us the other time and tried to sell land to us. So we just said, "All right, you give us all the documents you have, the photocopy." And he was not aware that we have people in Lands and Survey that will help us check if those documents he was parading were the documents that gave him right to the ownership of the land. Somewhere along the line, we found that the documents were forged. Meanwhile, he claimed to have a commodity to sell. But by the time we went to land registry, the documents that he gave us were not consistent with the documents that were attached to the ownership of that land. So normally, if we want to check the authentic owner, we go to land registry. This is the kind of report that you will get when you go to land registry. The earth is the Lord's. So this land registry report. That's what you have in the book of Psalms 24 verse 1. I know you didn't understand what I was saying. So you see, the one thing about the Bible is that we have numerous assortments of scriptures that can lend understanding depending on the circumstance, the situation, and the preference of the Holy Spirit. It's good to have mastery, but it's better to know the Holy Ghost. And in this day, we'll need to provide spiritual and technical accuracy because of the damage of corruption that has been done in the body of Christ, where a lot of people got away with very questionable activity that has no reference to scripture. So we labor to provide technical, biblical accuracy and spiritual accuracy. That's the texture of discipleship in our time. All right. So he says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. You know, I just told you this is land registry report. If you have a piece of land, for instance, in the United States of America, and haven't acquired that land, you now discover that there was a deposit of oil, crude oil, in the land that you bought. Are you there? According to the laws in the United States of America, you own the land and the crude oil and that which is therein. Are you there? But in Nigeria, if you own a land and they find crude oil, the crude oil belongs to the government, you just have what? All right, so let me not trouble you so much. But this is a land registry report. That is what we have in the book of Psalms 24, verse number 1. Now, we have an additional proof to show how that God is the one that owns the earth. The issue of ownership is the factor that is in view in this scripture. Apart from the land registry report, we also have in verse 2 what we call the creator's report. In verse 2, he reveals to us the engineering effort that was put into place in the process of creating the earth. It says, for he had founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Are you still with me? Now, you may not be aware, but where you are sitting, this very location where this building is standing was overly waterlogged. It was excessively waterlogged. And in order for us to build this edifice on this ground, there was a lot of sand filling that we did. I lost count of the number of trips. And my engineers are not here today for me to seek a confirmation. But if I'm not mistaken, we put in 230 trips. Yeah, 230 trips. In order, yeah. This place you are sitting on and you are smiling. Now, the reason why we had to administer 230 trips of sharp sand from the shores of the River Benue is because in civil engineering, when you want to construct a building, your greatest enemy is water. And so you will need to do something to displace the water so that you can have solid ground to begin your construction. And that is part of the challenge that we had building on this location. So the building was overly costly because we had to do a lot of sand filling in the foundation. Eventually, we spent 55 million Nigerian naira in the foundation just because it was waterlogged. Would have spent like 30 million on the foundation, but we eventually spent 55 because we could not at face value quantify the amount of sand that was needed to fill the ground. Now guess how God created this earth. He founded the earth upon what? Oh, you're not here. You're not in the lecture. Yeah, he founded it where? Now, we civil engineers, we labor to drive the sea away, to drive the water away. But God founded this earth on seas. And that's the reason why if you sink a borehole and it goes deep enough, you will hit what? Water. Because the foundation of this whole establishment, this whole are the seas. What does it say to you? It is suggestive of the fact that the earth does not have true foundations. That means if you build your life the way you are going now, if you build your life on anything that is tied to the earth, there is no guarantee that it will sustain, because the earth has faulty foundations. Are you there? So men like Abraham that came to this discovery began to seek for a city that had what? Foundations. So if you build your life, for instance, in a city that has foundations, your life will not go through the puzzle, the hiccups that is factored in the economies of the world, the hiccups that is factored in the market trends, the hiccups that is factored into political instability. Your life will sustain, temelios, a trend that is suggestive of stability. And that is going to be determined by the foundation upon which you build. Now, because of that terminology that was used in the New Testament in the book of Hebrews, if we take inventory of your life, we will know if the principles by which you are building are principles that are derived from the everlasting city. If we look at how your life is, we look at the patterns and trends, we can actually know where your life is standing. Abraham sustained his pilgrimage seeking a city that had foundations whose builder and maker is God. Right. Go back to Psalms. In the book of Psalms, we see that God had founded it, established the earth on the seas. He has founded it upon the seas and established it on the floods. The next thing that you see in Psalms 24 verse 3 is an invitation. It says, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? The hill of the Lord happens to be the only place in the earth that has true foundations. And that was the place, the hill of the Lord. That's the place Abraham was seeking. He wanted to build his life on the hill of the Lord. He wanted to build his destiny on the hill of the Lord, because every other thing that is outside of that hill is not trustworthy. Time will reveal its weakness. Time will reveal its insufficiency. Time will reveal that it is a lie. I remember many years ago, like 20-something years ago, I don't remember anymore, when we were about to graduate from the university, promising young men, promising young ladies, scholars in their own right, and we were graduating, and it was as though the whole world was ahead of us, and we had all the opportunity to seize it. Glory to God. We were young, sharp, vibrant, and all of that. And one of those days in the lecture room, the lecturer did not come. So we spent it on an interactive session to find out from the people that were interviewed how they saw their lives 5 years after university, how they saw their lives 10 years after university. And if you need to hear the beautiful pictures that were painted. And there was one guy that was from River State then. And he said, well, he's from River State. And the moment he finishes from here, his job is waiting for him in one of the oil companies, because the oil companies are on his father's land. Do you understand that? So if anybody from that family gets a little education and it is towards the sciences or the engineering, the person is guaranteed a job. So the guy began to say, well, he's already counting his millions. He's counting his millions from the classroom. And it was a powerful presentation. Now, when actual life started, you know, that was an interview. When actual life started, the first among my colleagues to die was that guy that had a job already. Oh, you are not with people. Oh my God. I think I need to change this sermon. I need to. No way. I'm changing. Now, it doesn't matter how many doors are open to you. That's not the most critical factor. What foundation have you set for your life? At the end of the day, I don't know about, at the end of the day, the most intelligent person is not the person that eventually takes the best handle of destiny. Have you found that? So there are many other factors apart from human intelligence that determines output and outcome. And so Abraham is saying that I need to establish my life on proper foundations. And you will notice from the book of Psalms 24 verse 3 that God is extending an invitation to every one of us to come up to the hill of the Lord. So the series of teaching that I want to bring to us in these few days as we prepare for our annual conference, I titled it Foundations. 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 A few of us began to pray. That's when we stumbled on prayer. Thank God for my pastor. I grew up in a praying church, a prayer church, and a Bible study church. So I got a lot of input and head start from the discipleship that I got from church. And when we came to campus, we knew that the options for us were not many. We knew that we had to continue in the intercessory culture that we had received when we were back at home in church. So we came to school and a few of us began to practice intercession. And we created a regiment. There was a prayer time that we had to maintain. Even though we were still schooling, we had a prayer regiment. And so many people felt it was not important, that what campus was about was to study and come out with the best possible grades so that you can be sellable in the labor market. So the prayer we were doing, a lot of people felt it was a distraction. In fact, one of my lecturers invited me to his office and said, can you just stop all these things and focus on chemistry? Please, when you are done with this chemistry, go and look for this, your prayer. Go and preach. But for now, stop all these things and focus on what? Okay. So meanwhile, he was giving me that counsel out of serious love for me. He felt I had potential to develop and I could become someone great. But my appetite for prayer, my appetite for preaching was going to stand in the way of the possibility of the greatness that he was perceiving. Meanwhile, what the prayer was about was, it was about foundations. He said, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, and who shall stand in his holy place? All right? So in those prayers, we're ascending. We are ascending into God's hill, where covenants are cut, where agreements are made with God, where principles that govern the kingdom of God are unveiled, so that you can build your life on those same principles that sustains the throne of God. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Okay. That's an introduction. Let us start foundations. I think we will do Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 and 25 tonight. And then we will know if we are going to be continuing on this subject subsequently. I met a few of my classmates not too long ago. In fact, the day a week after we inaugurated this place, because the news of the inauguration went around town. So some of my classmates that were still in town, they wanted to come and verify if it was really me or not. So they came to my office. You see, at the time they came to my office, the effect of the foundations we chose was already speaking. The structure, the temelios. Our lives are taking the outlook of the structure and the nature of foundations that we chose. Are you there? So these are deep matters. But let us begin with Matthew chapter 7, verse number 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. If you hear these sayings of mine, this is Jesus speaking, and you become foolish enough to begin to put them to practice, you will be like a wise man that builds his house upon the rock. Okay, next verse. And the rain descended. Somebody say rain. And the floods came. Somebody say floods. And the winds blew. Somebody say winds. Now, what I came to tell you is a prophecy. I came to prophesy to you that the rain will come. The floods will come. And the wind will come to test your life. In fact, what will reveal your foundation are these three matters. And for every life that is available, you'll be subject to the test that comes from these three matters consistently. My classmate that was saying that he already had a job, his life was not strong enough to survive the wind that came to test it. The race, you will find out at the end of the day, is not to the swift. And the battle is not to the strong. It will interest you to know that the floods would test your foundation. The wind will test your structure. And the rain will test your roof. The rain will test your covering. What is it that is protecting you? You see, when you plan for destiny, you must have a protector. Because as you are planning, evil men are also planning about your life. And they are hoping to cash in by plugging in injury into your life. So your roof talks about your covering, your protection, and your protector. Most people do not make provision for protection of their destiny. Are you there? So when the rain starts, you see that you are not protected. You are a victim of what is inevitable because you did not consider the need for protection in your design. Are you there? Protection. The Bible speaks about the wind. And the wind comes to test the structure. I watched a little clip on Facebook. How much did they say they built that house? $2 billion or something. It was an edifice. And then, unfortunately, it was built in a place that was prone to landslides. So the land slid, and the whole edifice that costed $2 billion was washed off. And it was washed off in slow motion. Not that it just broke. It was just going. So the day that house was being washed off, it doesn't matter how much money was spent. And that's what happens in your life when you invest in the wrong things and you keep investing in the wrong things, and then suddenly the flood just shows up. And all the things you've been investing in is washed off. So Abraham is saying, before we begin this investment matter, let us look for a city that has what? Foundation. Let us look for a city whose builder and maker is God. So I'm showing you that city right now. He says, anyone that hears these sayings of mine and doeth them. Okay. So the first foundation is what we call the foundation of the Word of God. The foundation of the Word of God. You want to get married? Do you have any scripture that is your guarantee? Any scripture that is your insurance policy? Most of the time, the reason why we fear is because we do not have any policy. We do not have any guarantee. Right? So what is the scripture that you have found that guarantees that your marriage will not fail? You don't have any. What is the scripture that guarantees that you are protected? You don't have any. Maybe you are telling me, I say, Pastor, well, I don't live in danger. Live in peace. There's tranquility. Don't wait for the day the storm comes, the test comes to unveil the situation. There is an open invitation to the heel of the Lord. And that's why I'm making this emphasis. What is the scripture that you have concerning your health? Or you don't believe that Satan wants to put sickness upon you? One of the easiest ways Satan achieves mind-bending is to put an affliction on your body. The moment there's an affliction on your body, you are praying about it, it's not going, you begin, it will influence your thinking, it will capture your thought. You know, I told you that if we talk about the roof, we are talking about protection. Covering. Right? And that's what the rains will come to check. The wind will check your structure. If you have pillars fastened into your building, and the flood will come to check your foundation. Is it deep enough to survive a slide? I had a very, very beloved friend that I loved so much. And the only thing I knew was pray. So I would invite him. I say, let us be praying together. So you know how we do it? There is a class a class somewhere. The class is locked, okay? So we'll go through the burglary to enter into the class so that we can pray. And because if you want to come out, you have to take an effort. So that's how me and my friend entered to pray. Do you realize that I was faced to the wall praying? He slipped through the burglary and escaped. That was how desperate he was to escape prayer. So I met him in the city of Abuja. Because that, the escape he made was also an indication of the kind of foundation he has chosen. Many years later, the floods came. And those days, anytime you see him, he has a photocopy document of one land in Abuja. He's hawking, he's selling. Every day, he's looking for buyers. Every day, he has landed property, he has documents. See, this one is in Kuje. This one is in Nyanya. Then, during the weekend, he will take off. He said, okay, he's going to meet a buyer. He kept, I don't know if he actually sold any, but I'm not sure he sold any. But he was preoccupied with documents. See? And it looked like foolishness for me to detain myself in the place of prayer. It was 10 years later that the foundations began to speak. I met him in Abuja when I was still working. He now told me that, am I aware that he wrote the aptitude test for the job that they gave me? You wrote the aptitude test? Because me, I didn't write. Me, I was in Kano preaching as a missionary. If you ask me who is the minister of finance, I don't know. Because I don't care. I was on the mission field. All right, so I was told that I should come because I have an interview. So I came down to Abuja. He wrote the aptitude test. His name did not come out. I didn't write the aptitude test. My name was on the list. And I'm telling you this by God. So I was not sure whether it was me because I know I didn't write. So the woman that we verify to check if you actually passed the aptitude test, I gave her an ID card that had my name. She checked it, number 144. She said, you can move there. That my friend that was always carrying papers, he wrote that exam. I did not write the exam. My name came up. You know, I've told you that the race is not to the swift and the battle is not to the strong. It was in the place of prayer that the Holy Spirit began to give me scriptures for my destiny. Scriptures for my health. Scriptures for my protection. In the place of prayer. He began to put it upon my heart. You see, when God invites you to that hill where he is, that hill where he wants you to establish your destiny, one of the first things he does to you is that he brings you into what we call a word foundation. Word foundation. It says, the rain descended and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. So when you find someone that was tempted and the person fell into temptation, the person did not fall into temptation because of temptation. The person fell into temptation because he had a faulty foundation. Because the temptation was supposed to be a test of how concrete, how rooted he was. And it was a test that revealed the fact that he did not have sufficient foundation that could see him through temptation. It is not the temptation that is the issue. The temptation is trying to probe his foundation. Many years later, we were all exposed to storms, serious storms. And by the time I came back to Benue State to work here, we now found a few of our classmates and they set up a WhatsApp group. I don't know how many people are on that group right now. Just to reunite the class. So I got to engage with people that I have not seen for the past 10 years, for the past 12 years on that platform. While we were still on campus, they used to call me a radical, a zealot, that I was just wasting my time doing this church stuff. All right? We did not have girlfriends. Hallelujah. And, you know, the reason why we did not have was not because we didn't have the capacity to convince people. I just wanted you to know that. We were high in capacity. But the foundation, yeah, I assure you. Oh, Jesus. We were high in capacity. If it's to don't even worry about it. Don't worry about it. We were not doing girlfriends. And for many of them, it was boring to do the kind of life we were doing. But we're filled with the Holy Spirit. He gave us a few clues about where he was taking us to. And it was bigger than what we could even imagine. So, well, we knew he spoke, but no, it's out of the box. It's too big and all of that. And that was why he did not allow us compromise. He did not compromise the standard because he was trying to build a life that could hold the weight of that destiny that he showed us. For instance, I will have invitations to preach in some nations and God will say, he's not the one that opened the door. Okay, why are you not serving? Why did you allow the door to open? If you don't want me to enter. So I used to ask God all those questions and he won't answer. Yeah. So I know you have questions in your walk with God. Why is this? I had more questions than you. But I was learning how to walk in line with the word of God in scriptures and the voice of God that came through the Holy Spirit. And to the best of my knowledge, I was telling one of our elders that everything that God has asked me to do till today, I did it. Yes. Till this moment. That's why I'm not afraid of death. If death comes, anytime it comes, that God allows. Whew, everything he told me to do till now, I did it. Anyone I didn't do, I didn't know. That was how my life was built. I heard his voice. I walked with him. There were opportunities that came when I had nothing. And he said, I didn't open that door. And I refused to enter. Even my relatives castigated me, all kinds of things, this and that, this. He said he didn't open the door. I refused to enter. So after a while, my relatives said I was by myself, I was beside myself, I was just deluded. Because I will not enter a door that Jehovah has not opened. When the time came for me to, because he spoke about this door, the door I entered, which was my 16-year job, he spoke about it. Spoke about it 1 year before the establishment was even established. That he will give me a job there. It was 1 year, exactly 1 year before the establishment was put together. And he gave me the opportunity to serve there. By the time I entered there and I began to, then my mom, after 5 years, looking at my life, because my life was a puzzle to my mom. After 5 years, looking at my life, called my younger sisters and told them that this man knows the way. Follow him. And this thing I'm telling you is about 13 years ago. He said, I've watched this man. He knows the way of life. Follow him. Follow his example. Follow any instruction he gives you. Follow him. Because he knows the way. It was the foundation of the word. I will not do anything that is not rooted in the word of God. I gave myself to study. All right? 12 years of intensive and intentional study of the Bible so that I can have an idea of the Bible and I can be immune to falsehood. So 12 years of my life was invested in studying the scriptures from back to back to back to back to back, day and night. After 12 years, I now had a little idea of what the Bible is saying. Are you there? Oh, you are not there. 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 All right, let me give you a scripture, then I round up. tomorrow we'll go deep. Foundations. That was how I learned how to pray, because I saw that the apostles, I saw their lifestyle, and their lifestyle was a product of what Jesus taught them. And they knew that they could not do without prayer. That is a prescription for all Christians in all generations. So even though I didn't like prayer, I started learning how to pray because I saw it as a prescription from Jesus. I began to exercise myself, If there was anybody that didn't like prayer, it was me. I prefer studying the Bible. That one came naturally to me. There is one that will come naturally to you, but you cannot fly with one wing. You must learn one. One will come easy to you. For some of you, prayer comes easy to you. Learn how to sit down and study. Yes, that's how to build your foundation. So Bible study came easy to me. I could sit down for hours studying my Bible. In fact, those days on campus, I would never read any book until I have read some chapters of my Bible. I know how many Bibles I finished while I was on campus. And those days, there were no concordances, there were no chain references. Those chain reference Bibles were very costly and for preachers. So we read the normal Bible and underline until we underline the whole thing. And underline upon what you underline. I had to learn how to pray because it was part of the prescription in building a foundation. A time came, today, people think it just prayer came. No, the more I pray, the more the capacity increased, and then prayer started becoming sweet when God started speaking to me. It was a new life. It was a new experience. And the things that I learned working with God, nobody taught me. Nobody on earth. But he was my wisdom. He was my strategy. He was my wisdom. So I followed closely. And as I followed him, he illuminated me. If you are not willing to follow him, you will lose wisdom to drive your life. That was where I learned how to pray. Bible study came to me naturally. And even if I start studying now, what I get from scripture is always too much. So I had that from the beginning. But prayer was a drag. Prayer was a problem. Praying tongues, you have back pain. You have... Until the Lord help me. Keep struggling until you master it. It's hard for all of us. It's hard for all of us. Struggle until you master. Don't say because it's hard, I'm going to quit. It means you have surrendered to a faulty foundation. And when you surrender to that faulty foundation, that's not when the test will come. When you are getting used to that lifestyle you have created that has exempted prayer, that has exempted the wisdom of the voice of God, then the wind will come. Finally, come with me to James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verse 22. It says, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. So if we do not do the word of God, it is self-deception. Then he goes to verse 23 and makes a statement that I'd like to bring to our notice. He says, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. Next verse. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. In your physical mirror, when you check your physical mirror, your physical mirror reveals you. Okay? So you cannot know where to brush, where to cream, because it reveals you. The difference between your physical mirror and the mirror of the word of God is that the mirror of God's word reveals who you are supposed to be. Your mirror reveals what? You in your current state. But the mirror of the word reveals who you are supposed to be. The proof that you saw the mirror of the word is that you begin to function as you are supposed to be. It means that if you look upon the scriptures and you do not obey it, you have forgotten who you are. Now, it is when you obey the word of God that there is evidence that you have remembered it. Because the word of God reveals who you are supposed to be. Who you are what? Supposed to be. So there should be transformation as you read the word of God. There should be an illumination that will open your eyes to see what you could not see previously. And then in the light of what you have seen, you begin to walk it out. You begin to obey it. You begin to function from that perspective. That illumination that you received as taking you into a realm that you can never get into except by the illumination of the word of God. No natural man can begin to operate like that. No natural man. So if we see that, okay, hallelujah. For instance, I had some encounters and I called some of our people and told them that, do you know we are going to have a TV station? That was when we were in the other place. I mentioned some things that we are going to have. And even though the people heard me politely, but I heard the rumor from behind that this man, there's a problem. There's a problem with his mind. His mind has gone bad. There's a challenge of mental health that is plaguing him. Why? Because I said, we were going to have a TV station. You see, what gave me the impetus to be able to say that was a light that came to me. That light is God's instrument of migration. You migrate into what God is showing you. Any other person that doesn't have the light that you have will see you when you begin to migrate and think something is wrong with you. So if your life is so natural that a natural man can relate with you and he doesn't believe something is wrong with you, you have not started walking in the light yet. You have not started. You have not started. When the time came for us to begin the TV station, it happened naturally. It happened so simply, but it was on my heart. It was alive. I was convinced about it. Because the word of God, the encounters I had with God gave me what? Light. You will never be big. You will never be strong except you begin to receive light from the Holy Spirit. You begin to see yourself in the light of what God reveals to you, and you begin to walk in it, and you refuse anything contrary to what you have seen to dissuade you from your perceptions. It means that you have found another foundation and you have established your life upon it. Time will prove that you are wise. Time. Oh, you were praying and the Lord spoke to you. God is not a man that he should lie. When we call this meeting that we are going to hold next month, International Eagles Conference, we were 250 in Uruku. And I was on my knees in prayer, and I saw an eagle fly. And the Lord gave me that caption. You will begin to host a conference called International Eagles Conference. And in that conference, people from all over the world will come there. So even though we were 250 in that small box, we started the first one. And for God to show us mercy that we were saying the truth, there were two brothers from Cameroon. They came through this. You are not following. For God to confirm that we were truthful, two of them came by road from Cameroon. So the first nation that came for our International Eagles Conference was Cameroon. And I know that as a preacher in Makurdi, this our city, that many of you believe nothing good can come out of, it is impossible to hold international conferences in the city of Makurdi. I know you think that is the way you would think without light. And that life you are living without light is not on the heel of the Lord. Are you there? The one that is rooted to the heel of the Lord, the storms cannot remove it. The winds cannot change it. Last year, without an airport here, we had over 100 people that came from different nations for International Eagles Conference. How the transport committee coordinated their movement from Abuja and from Lagos to this place, I don't know how they achieved that. But we have more than 100 people from different nations without an airport. You see, the thing that was responsible for their coming was stronger than the inconvenience that was encountered from Abuja to Makurdi. Do you know that thing that was responsible for their coming, first of all, survived in the heart of a man? It lived in the heart of a man. It was tended. God whispered it, and the heart of a man could receive it and could tend it, and it became the reality that the man walked in spite of the challenges. Because if we are saying, okay, we're holding an international conference, why won't we move to Abuja where there's an airport and there is the hospitality industry in Abuja is developed? Do you know that we used up all the hotels in Makurdi? All. That the hotel people now ask, what is happening? It was because of the customers. They now know that something is happening in town. That's how the hotel people got to know that something is happening, because all the rooms were taken everywhere and there was no space. That was when I saw how small our hospitality industry is in this city. But the thing responsible for unveiling the smallness of our hospitality industry survived in the heart of a man. Now, in keeping with the new phase of possibility that is tied to that matter, He has not given us airport. And watch out. We are going to have, like we have never had it before. So, may the Lord help us in the name of Jesus Christ. When the Lord told me, he said, okay, you are going to minister to white people. So because of that, work on your English. So I bought books on grammar. Oh, you don't believe me. You don't believe me. I worked on my communication. I bought books on grammar. I read books on grammar. Had mentors in public speaking to build my communication to a point where someone that is not in my culture can be interested in my delivery. Oh, you might see me when I'm buying books on grammar and you say, oh, this boy. You see, you cannot see what is responsible for my actions because you don't have the light that I have. It is the word of God that is the instrument that gives light. Gives light. It puts you on a different pedestal. And after many years, it will be obvious that you are in your own class. Your type is no, it's non-existent. There can be 7 billion people, but there's no woman like you. Because you have walked in the light of the word of God and you have become shaped into exactly what the word of God wants to make you. There will be nobody like you on earth. Doesn't matter if there's population explosion. Like I read that India now is the most populated country. I don't care about that. The population explosion will not obscure a man that is walking in the light of true foundations. As we come tomorrow, I'm going to build further and show you some deliberate things that you need to do right now. I began to work on my grammar. And it came to pass this year when I went to preach somewhere in England. The pastor called me after the service and said he invited a pastor from Ghana to minister. And the guy could not flow. He couldn't connect with the people. Said the moment I came and I just started, it's as if I've been living among them. Then you know what I told them? You would think that, okay, because they are white people, I will not preach the way I preach to you. I shouted, I said, hey, you're not my friend. I'm not your friend. I came here to give you the counsel of God. They had to sit up. Then I began to tell them about prayer. So at the end of the service, an uncle called the pastor and told him, this kind of preaching, I know they have not heard this type before. So I apologize to them. Tell them that the preacher is apologizing. So you now say, see what the preacher said. They say, no, they don't need an apology because the word of God entered. And how I know, listen, how I know that the word of God entered is that when we left, do you know that as a congregation, they've never prayed for 1 hour before as a congregation. When we left because of the challenge, they prayed for 1 hour after we left. When we left because of the challenge, they prayed for 2 hours. That's 180 minutes. They prayed for 180 minutes. That's 2 hours. And the pastor snapped the picture of the congregation after they prayed for 2 hours. That's a big Pentecostal church. Never prayed for 2 hours until that boy from Nigeria went there. God can use you to do the impossible. Listen. You see, the purpose of this lecture I want to give in these few days is to make you know that the family you were born into, the limitations around your life, or no. See, if we put you on the right foundation, your life will speak. The storms that cripple people, we have no power over you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We are going to pray in a moment of time. 3 prayer points. Are you with me? Hey, we are going to ask God to anything that makes you feel small, that makes you feel limited. No. It means you've not been renewing your mind with the word of God. Because if you are renewing your mind with the word of God, one of the things God will achieve in your life is that it will give you a very positive self-image. Very positive. Many of you in this place might see yourself as, if there is anybody that should look down on himself, I think I have many more reasons than yourself. I was born with facial palsy. So if you speak, everybody will know that there's something wrong with the configuration of your face. But you see, it's not how your face looks like that determines how far you go. If you still feel inadequate, it means you have not yet known Christ. Because the Bible says that I can do all things. I believe it. That anything that God has said to me that you will accomplish, I believe that it will come to pass. Because Christ will make the capacity available. I was there. A president of a certain country, the vice president of that country, politicians in that nation, they were in a small room and they smuggled me into that room to bring the counsel of God. I was there. If you watch that video, you will like me. You will say, that's our pastor. They wanted to know the mind of God. And I walked into that place, I was ushered to the podium. And it was a foreign country. So the pastors and preachers in that country were very sad. That why is it that they are bringing a foreigner? So the person that put up the meeting now said, if after you finish listening to this man, you believe that you can do anything close to what he will do, let us know at the end of the meeting. That was when I stood on that podium. Oh my God. The Holy Spirit took over that meeting. And it was in that meeting I gave a prophecy about one of the people that was in that meeting concerning him, that he was going to be the next president of that nation. As at the time I prophesied, he was expelled from his party. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Now, APC is in power now. Imagine someone expelled from APC. Expelled. And then a preacher comes and begins to prophesy to him that you are going to be the next president. That Jehovah spoke and he said, your name is David, a man that will rule after my heart. No, they didn't say amen. People, preachers in that place didn't say amen. Because politically, if you look at the permutation and the patterns all across, there's no way those words will come to pass. But I did not send myself. And I was not trying to gain any form of popularity or relevance before politicians. You know my stand on those matters. It was Jesus that spoke to me. After the delivery, the pastors that said, why are you bringing a foreigner for this kind of thing? None of them came back. The utterance was baked from heaven. Many of my enemies took a copy of that recording, hid it on their phone, waiting for the prophecy to come to fail so that they can write a liturgy about me. They didn't have the opportunity to write because every one of those utterances came to pass. Every one of them. I've been to other nations, and because of that prophecy, people that I've met in this Africa, people that I've met, you will not even believe it. Who told you that you are limited? Who told you that because you were born in Gwe West, that has anything to do with anything? He said, this man is likened unto a wise man that builds his house upon the rock. Can we pray tonight? God will need to take from your heart every mentality of limitation. We want to war against it. I see some of you in the spirit. Hi! Princes in the spirit. But you see, if you don't believe what God shows you, Even though you are ordained to be a priest, you will walk on foot. You will walk on foot. You will walk on foot. Can we ask that the Lord will do damage? Will do damage to anything that makes you see yourself smaller. Smaller than God has ordained for you. Smaller than the Holy Spirit had ordained for your life. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. And many people struggle when God begins to speak like he spoke to Gideon and said, "Thou mighty man of valor." Gideon could not relate with that salutation because he saw himself as the least of men. Illuminate us with the light of your word. Make us wise by your spirit. Oh, cause us to see that a little one can become a thousand and a small one can become a strong nation. Purge us. Shine your light upon us. Koremosi ke boboroko santelia. Mahasiko breminaite. Kufalando skendo boro. Kufalando mambeli sata kombesa. Alai kompraskito begaboshi akedia dole. Rabo konsa mike brekete ni. Alondia bose kiza abarato brekos kantelia. That the word of God, the voice of God, the light of God that emanates from his word might pierce into your heart. And destroy every wall of containment that the deceiver had built. Sakobemine, sakobemine, zikobrans getabonala, minga besilo meke labokon. Raike posika bakadubalai. Kofoson de breske dali amusa kabela tua brendo koske tabakalanto izosami mahaikoma esgovelata ikampeli asubria konseke brabido skante alabroske topri asia bonzali asia makalantoria eskendo boko arika seli arika makabosa ikabresu vele. Ah, Osabina Koboro Eko Sike Ala Boboria Baba Ala Siko Blantala Ala Kuskaminaida Ebres Keto Aliko Babamanda Isko Brea Ezakuda Bala Aikabeso Sala Asomina kaito beli ama mama masantoria isabinala ieka babo shaba ieka babo seminala ya ikaseli kopa ayako setene abranda babokolo amisa bilai takombo ama mama ielo bobo sakabala seminai tokombelama. Iai toboko samanaite, iai kompalwa, zebina katebon, jamakanda baborakata, ikapres kombinala, aika sobina kate, raka semina, ieko boli makadelia, ala mama 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 mama. Sakila bronde pa canteria, brascope la cante baboria, asamina, alla toschete, abranda baboria, jamina talia, jamina catabonda, racabaita cope seminala, Arakata Babuda Kateli Asama Asama Kola Sima Yela Nobo Sakutania Abrebo Mosaya Rakababotokobe Is Kamenina Kobre. For whose report shall we believe? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall go up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. And there is no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we so desire him. He was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. For he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Kaila Babo Sime Kababuria. Rabina Siko Babina. Heal us tonight, oh God, and cause us to see what you want us to see. Zomenaita Kambe Sobela. Heal us. Kalebosima. Brasketobokoria. Amakante babosakala. Aila labo masekila. Kado seminai gogogosa. Lasko mele mamala. Akambe se. Akambe babola. Akambe samina kadia. Alabo bosika brasketa bande maboya. Lake suke brasketo bando maboya. Ah! Yekabole masiko breskali. Yalabo bosantaya. Akambo sika breska bilaita kombo. Nenina kosesa santa baborakada. Rapetela, rakaba sovenata, rakedia seni. Oh, mama maye keke bobo santa. Yabo sabena. Yabo sabena. Hallelujah. Yes. Kale bobo sabena. Rakaba sayatala. Rescomporo così na haitama. La doboro così protescoria. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Now, can you put Psalms 36 verse 9 on the screen? Listen to me, it doesn't take eternity for God to do what is eternal. Right now, the Lord can whisper into your ears in the next 25 seconds, and that little whisper will become the foundation, the basis for great, great things to come. Build your house on the voice of God. For with thee is the fountain of life, and in thy light, the only time you truly see is when he sheds his light. It is in his light that you see the light of destiny. Without his light, we will all walk in darkness. Ooh. Can we ask him tonight? Shed your light. Shed it. Shed it. Shed that light upon my heart. Let it engulf my soul. Let there be nothing that can take the position that the light reveals away from me. That's how men become mighty. Because they walk in the light that the Lord has made in them. They walk in the illumination that his countenance casts. That I will not fall to destruction. I will not fall to temptation. But I will walk in the light of your spirit. Sikobamina. I kombela. Sikobres. Vabi zozoli mantalia. Rakabobo santeli. Barakabasi. Lembrokes. Mandalusa kabalora. Escomba ya ikombela kuse labinala. Maya boso korea masiko prema labande. That we may walk in the light of your word. For with thee is the fountain of life. And in thy light we shall see light. For the entrance of thy word giveth light. It giveth understanding to the simple. You can create a civilization, a pathway for God. You can create a pathway for God in your family. You can create a pathway for him in your life. For the entrance of his words, it brings life. It gives understanding to the simple. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask that you invade us, invade our spirit man, invade us with light. Let an understanding come to us, such understanding that cannot come to us except by your light. Ooh. An understanding that will guide our steps. An understanding that will be the basis of our convictions. An understanding that will pick us out of the bunch and set us apart for greatness. I pray, breathe upon your people in the name of Jesus Christ.